This podcast may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties. These forward-looking statements are based on current expectations and may differ materially from actual future events or results due to a variety of factors. For a discussion of factors that could affect our business, please refer to our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. All of our statements are made as of today based on information currently available to us. We can give no assurance these statements will prove to be correct, and we do not intend and undertake no duty to update these statements except as required by law. Welcome to the Innovix Journey to Scale podcast. I'm Kristen Atkins, Vice President of Marketing and Communications. Today, in this episode, we're joined by Innovix Vice President of Product Management, Samira Naraghi, to discuss her role, her recent trip to Mobile World Congress, and what trends she's seeing in the market. Hi, Samira.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
So we have a lot to cover, so let's dive right in. Let's start by telling us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so I'm an electrical engineer by training. I got both my bachelor and master's degree from University of Toronto before I moved to the U.S. I'd say over the last two decades, I've held a broad range of roles from analog silicon design to product management, product marketing, business development, partnerships, etc. And the first phase of my career, 1.0, that was the first 14 years where I worked for several semiconductor companies that truly shaped the technology landscape as we know it today. These companies included Rambus, Cirrus Communications, Qualcomm, and then Integrated Devices Technology. And then the second phase of my career, then the last 5 years or so, I worked for hyperscalers. I worked for Amazon Web Services, where I led business development for cloud compute platforms. And then at Meta, where I led telco partnerships for Meta connectivity solutions. And that all led me to my last year at Innovix. Today is, in fact, my anniversary, 1 year and 1 week. And I'm now in a battery company. That's phase 3.0 of my career. And I haven't looked back since.
Well, that's great. Happy anniversary. And tell us a little more. Tell us why you joined Innovix.
So I'd say the primary reason at the core of my decision was Innovix's novel and really, truly differentiated technology. I guess over the last two decades, I've learned that when a company has a differentiated and desired technology, the business success and profitability is disproportionate to how differentiated that product is. So that's why I primarily joined Innovix. I mean, who doesn't want a battery that runs longer and performs better? And so that drove me to be a part of Innovix team. The second reason was Raj, our CEO. I had the opportunity to get to know him and work with him many years ago when he was at Qualcomm. And since then, I've witnessed the stellar track record that he's had in turning around businesses and really focusing on growing and scaling businesses. And I really wanted to be a part of that success.
That makes sense to me. And so expand on your role here.
Yeah, sure. So I was brought on to build the product management team about a year ago. The product management function did not exist at Innovix. Since then, I'd say my role has expanded quite a bit. I now manage both the customer and engineering program management team, product management team, as well as, you know, customer application engineering and our North America sales. So I'd say, you know, the big portion of our commercial and customer facing teams, I get the opportunity to run that at Innovix.
Yeah, that's a big role, an important role. So tell us a little bit about what excites you.
I'd say, you know, first, every decision that I make every day matters and has a direct impact on the trajectory of the company. I've worked for many companies before, more mid-size to really large size and hyperscale size. And that's an opportunity that you get in more of a smaller growth phase startup. And I get that at Innovix. Mm-hmm. The second part I'd say is that I really love that as a company, we're all focused on one goal and one objective, and that's delivering the most differentiated battery that enriches consumers' experiences. And I'd say I also love our customers and their genuine interest in our product and in our success. So I really think that over here, I get the opportunity to make a big dent in the industry if we do our job right. And I'd say these are the primary reasons that, excite me every day. Yeah.
So last week, I understand you were in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress. Can you share what you saw?
So first, I saw a lot of old colleagues and customers that, it's been incredible to see all these familiar faces. This was my 11th MWC, and wow. It's really amazing to see the same people continuing to innovate and change the world. Mm-hmm. It was also really cool to see a lot of cool tech, a lot of concepts. I saw from cyber dogs, robo dogs, and racing with each other, to phone concepts that wrap around your wrist, or an EV that was made by Xiaomi, and many cool AR, VR glasses and applications, AI-based applications that run on your AR, VR devices. There were so many cool things to see. But I'd say AI stole the show. It was right in the center in every booth, every customer discussion, every keynote. And for us, that's the most exciting thing for me personally to see. We know that running more AI applications at the edge will put a more stringent requirement on the battery, and no one can offer a battery that has a longer runtime than an Aubix. So I can't think of a better time for us to be in this business. Mm-hmm. And I walked away from MWC more excited than ever.
Yeah. So is the CyberDog the most exciting thing that you saw?
Well, I think that between that and the phone that wraps around your wrist, it's a tie.
Yeah. How many batteries does a CyberDog need? How many Aubix battery so it can run all day?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm assuming every leg and every arm needs a battery, but someone has to do that analysis. I'd say a lot of cool AR, VR applications. I ended up playing soccer, something that I never do in real life. And I actually scored 4 out of 5. So that was pretty cool.
And how long did your headset last?
I only had it on for 5 minutes because they don't allow you to have it for more, but most probably.
I wonder why.
You're probably right. I think it runs out of battery. And so they had to recharge it in between. And I do think that this is truly the perfect timing for a company like Aubix to exist and to succeed.
That's great to hear. And were you able to meet with a lot of customers there?
We met with all the executives. Great conversations. And it was really incredible to see how everybody's excited about us, about our technology, about our samples being available. We've been engaged, deeply engaged with all of these customers, and they've had our earlier samples and they've been testing them and providing a lot of feedback. But it was exciting to see that sort of excitement being reiterated and more importantly, their commitment into making us a successful company. Their support, their commitment, all the feedback they give us and the support that we're getting from all sorts of levels at the companies, all the way from executives to, the battery engineers. It's just incredible to watch. So that was exciting.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Let's switch gears a little bit. And I'd love for you to explain to listeners more about your team and what's next for your team.
So the primary responsibility of my team is to be the voice of the customer. Mm-hmm. We will continue to work alongside of our customers. We will continue to get their feedback on the testing that they're doing. Many things have changes on their front as well. They're working on their newer designs, concept designs, future designs. And as they work with their roadmap, we make sure our roadmap aligns with theirs. But the primary job is to bring that feedback, feed it back to our R&D team and manufacturing teams, and make sure that whatever samples and whatever product we deliver is finally meeting their requirements. So I see us doing more of that, and I really do look forward to providing the samples that everybody's been waiting for in the next couple of months.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of samples, we have several questions from our investor base that I'd like to include in our talk today. The first one is, how many customers will be sampling off the Agility and HVM lines in Malaysia over the next year.
So all smartphone customers are going to go receive samples from the Agility line as soon as they become available. The second priority of sampling, we will have to work with our IoT and compute customers. And we will prioritize based on, I'd say, three factors. Number one is our technology really meeting their requirements. Second thing would be, you know, our capacity and production capacity. And the third factor would be how quickly we can get to revenue. And then they're essentially their time to market. So, you know, as soon as Agility is up and running, I would expect us to you know, sample to as many customers as possible on all segments. But the primary focus will be smartphones.
Makes sense. And how many units do you expect to ship to customers during the qualification period and before high volume production?
So that all depends. Every customer is different. I'd say for the smartphone OEMs, typically pre-production volume could be as high as a couple of 100,000 units. They build phones and they send them to their friendly customers for friendly trials and such. For IoT and compute customers, it's going to be, look, the numbers are going to look different. And I'd say, you know, the highest we will see for pre-production is about a couple of 100,000 units per customer.
And then how many wins is the goal and what are you expecting?
Oh, as many as possible. So in the smartphone segment, our goal is to not leave anyone behind. And, you know, we've made recently made a pivot to smartphones and that's the goal. So that's for smartphones. And for the IoT and compute customers, we will ensure that our number of wins and number of customers match our capacity and manufacturing capability and capacity.
Mm-hmm. And the next question is one that everyone is waiting for. When will we announce a customer?
I can't speak for our customers, but we are engaged with all the right OEMs, some deeper than others. I'd say that I come from the semiconductor industry, and in semi, it's not very typical for an OEM to make an announcement with a supplier. Now, we are working with our customers, and depending on their appetite for public announcements, you know, we will keep everybody informed. And I guess, you know, everybody will see the announcements as they come, possibly towards the end of the year and 2025. That all said, I think the best proof is to open up a product and then see our products inside, and that will take longer. Mm-hmm. But in terms of announcements, we will have to wait and see.
Are customers wanting break flow in their batteries, and what are you hearing from smartphone OEMs about safety?
So we have shipped breakflow enabled cells to the Army. It was very well received, the first phase. We are also a finalist for Best in Show Award at the International Battery Seminar IBS in Orlando next week. And now for all the mobile smartphone OEMs, safety is priority zero. It's the most important requirement that they have. And so we are working closely with them to make sure that we pass all their safety requirements and ensure that, you know, we meet those needs. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of breakflow, the current implementation of breakflow has some trade-offs with fast charge. So depending on a customer's fast charge requirement, and that varies depending on the customer and depending on the SKU at each customer. So depending on the fast charge needs, we will have breakflow in some and not, you know, in some products, and we won't have breakflow in others. That said, in parallel, we are working with a breakflow implementation that can support fast charge simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And once that's available, we will roll it out to all of the smartphone OEMs.
So tell us about the qualification period. Is there any, will we see any advantages when we go from EX1M samples to EX2M? Will they have a shorter qualification period?
Yes, that's what I would expect. So we are a new supplier. And until you become an approved vendor to a customer, the process typically takes longer. But my expectation is once EX1M gets qualified and approved, the follow-on generations of technology will go through a much faster qualification cycle. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they have a bunch of sort of qualification timelines, and they can parallelize these once they know you as an approved vendor. And so my expectation is EX1M will have the longest qualification cycle, and then everything is going to get shorter after that.
That makes sense. So walk us through the smartphone design process. What does it look like?
So let's say this is, we are working with a customer that's never heard of Enovix before. And so initially it's all about data transactions. So we talk about our cell, we provide a lot of data, our data sheets and spec, et cetera. And we basically go through that process. And once there's enough interest in our products, which, you know, has been the case so far, we offer them samples, smaller quantities of samples. They do cell level qualifications on these cells. And once that gets checked off, they basically build packs. And then they repeat all that testing again at a pack level. But the next step is they basically integrate these packs into a phone, a product, and they call that a product integration phase. And they rerun the tests. And sometimes in parallel, sometimes post-product integration, they run certifications. And the certifications vary depending on the customer and the countries that they want to ship their products into. And then the last step, that's where your proto builds start. And, you know, each stage, the quantities of samples continue to increase. They build the protos, and then they run software regressions, and they send it to different teams, different geos in the world, and they run software testing. And all of that happens before mass production.
That's a very rigorous process, but sounds like
So it is a rigorous process. You know, these are millions of units of these products get shipped, and understandably so, they want to get through all the safety tests and you know, all the qualification and reliability tests. I'd say that, you know, some of these steps can be, they don't necessarily need to be in sequences and sequential. Mm-hmm. And we are working with some customers that are actually willing to work with us and parallelize some of these steps. But for mm-hmm. the most part, as a new supplier, as a first-time supplier, these happen in sequences.
And why do you think Enovix has a solution that these OEMs are looking for?
That's a great question. So a couple of reasons come to mind. Number one, energy density of traditional graphite-based batteries have improved very moderately over the last few years. Mm-hmm. We recently benchmarked two of the top flagship OEM phones, and the energy density from 2022 to 2023 had only improved by 2 to 3%. Mm-hmm. Now, OEMs have been able to offer higher capacity batteries over the years, but the major lift came from making the batteries larger. And now they're running out of space. There's only so much that you can make these phones large. And I in fact, think my phone is already too large. So they're running out of space, and they're more or less maxed out of the phone sizes. So making the battery bigger is not a viable option anymore. Mm-hmm. They need batteries that have higher energy density so that they can fit higher capacity in a smaller size. And the second reason, and this is an anecdote from one of our top customers, is that especially post-COVID, more consumers use business and productivity apps on their phone, like file sharing, and they also do a lot of online gaming. My son plays Roblox on my phone, and my battery dies after 2 hours, no joke. And especially now with Gen AI applications. So all of these have led to over 20% of the consumers having to charge their phone multiple times in a day. Mm-hmm. And that's a metric that no smartphone OEM wants to see.
Right.
They actually have a metric that's all about charging your phone once a day. Ideally, you want to charge your phone before going to bed and then not having to charge it all day long. So these are the major pain points. And I'd say battery is a big bottleneck for OEMs. That's the majority of the complaints they get today is about the battery performance and the fact that phone. And so we are the only battery supplier that can solve for this. And mm-hmm. and this is what has led to major traction from the customers. This is why they're all committed to making us successful. And I'd say these are why they're looking for us. They've been waiting for us.
Yeah. Yeah. With multiplayer games, like you mentioned, and 4K and 8K video, our phones aren't going to last very long.
Oh, absolutely.
And then AI, as you mentioned, we recently conducted a study, and on-device AI is going to take up so much battery capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's only going to get worse. I mean, the applications mm-hmm. for AI are just starting to emerge. And, you know, there might be many applications that we can't even think of today. And so As soon as those become mature, there's even a bigger need for better battery. And we are going to be ready for that.
Well, thank you so much, Samira. It's awesome, as always, to speak with you. I appreciate you sharing more about your team and what you do and your background and your recent travels. And I can't wait to interview you again when we have a major customer announcement.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I can't wait for that day.
That concludes this episode of our Journey to Scale podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe for alerts. We'll be releasing new episodes as we reach new milestones and scale up to high volume manufacturing. Until then, thank you and have a great day.